Time here on RNIB Connect Radio to catch up with Vida Yarding, MBE, Inclusion and Diversity Consultant for ITV News across England, Wales, Northern Ireland and the Channel Islands, for a bit of a look back on a year of audio-described theatre reviews and maybe a look forward to some highlights for 2024 too. Hello Vida and welcome back to RNIB Connect Radio.
Good to be talking with you again, Toby. Hi.
Before we talk about some of the shows that you've seen over the year and maybe a few that are stuck in your mind, I think we must also talk about the art of the audio describer and what audio description in the theatre is, because I certainly, on my goings to the theatre and experience audio description, it is very much a sort of a craft and a skill and an art.
You're absolutely right. Craft, skill, art, they all sum up the work of an audio describer. And for anyone who's not familiar with what audio description is, in terms of the performing arts, and indeed in terms of anything visual, I guess, it's somebody who describes what is going on as it is happening, you know, in terms of what is overtly visual, what perhaps those with limited or no sight at all couldn't pick up just watching or looking at a stage. Perhaps it's something that we'd learn from the audio describer about costumes, about the set, about the characters. A little bit like listening to somebody reading the program to you, hearing a bit about the production. And it is a real art, Toby. You used the word art a couple of times in your question. That's exactly what it is. And it's made to sound effortless. That's the other great skill that, for me at any rate, I'd always come away admiring the natural way in which audio describers convey the information. And indeed, in their description, they convey their own infectious enthusiasm for what's being performed on stage. And I think that adds certainly to my enjoyment and hopefully to those of other blind and partially sighted theatre goers or people who enjoy the arts of whatever kind. So it's a real bonus. It's been around for 20, 25 years now, increasingly available at venues across the country. And if people haven't tried it, it may not be for everybody, but it's worth having a go just to see if it is for you.
And we know you've reviewed many forms of theatre over the year for us here on RNIB Connect Radio, from ballet, opera, drama, comedy and much more besides. Vida, are there any productions that have stuck in your mind and maybe moved you? And perhaps we could maybe sort of highlight a ballet or opera production first?
Okay, well, Toby, I must share with listeners that you had gone to the trouble of doing a lot of hard work and reminding me by sending me a list of all the shows that we've talked about over the last 12 months. And if I'm honest, I knew I had been lucky enough to see a good number of productions, but it was even more than I had recalled, if you like. And if you want to start with a ballet or an opera, there are lots to choose from. And actually, it's quite tough to choose which ones to go for, but I was going to perhaps talk about the Northern Ballet at Nottingham Theatre Royal, but ultimately I've decided I'm going to go for the Matthew Bourne production of Romeo and Juliet at the Grand in Wolverhampton. A, because it was the first time I'd seen it, and B, because I found it just that little bit more compelling than the others that I've seen, and they were very, very compelling. So it just had the edge, and that isn't to say that the others didn't really attract my attention or my interest, but Romeo and Juliet, which of course is a play that perhaps many of us are familiar with, the Shakespeare story, but in this particular production it's a little bit different, let us say, without wanting to spoil it for people who haven't seen it. It was very dramatic, very, as I say, I use the word compelling, and that's exactly what it was, show. And for an audio describer, on this occasion it was Caroline Burns. It's a real tour de force, because obviously, without stating the obvious, ballet is overtly visual. You can enjoy the music for its own sake, of course, but to appreciate what's being danced on stage, if I can put it like that, it is imperative, essential, particularly with no sight in my case at all, to hear the audio describer telling you what's happening. And for them, they then need to try and get a balance between describing what's happening for your average listener, your average layman, and I include myself in that, and also trying to take into account and respect those who might have a knowledge of ballet terminology and the art of ballet in its own way. So treading a bit of a tightrope in terms of the vocabulary and language used, but I came away feeling I'd really got something out of that production. And without the audio description, this is the real yardstick by which I measure it, I'm not sure I'd have got a lot at all.
I think that's so true. The audio description just adds so much to your experience, you know, for, as we keep on saying every time. But it is that way of having a sort of picture in your mind of what the show is all about, what's happening on stage, and all the other bits that come along with an audio-described performance of Touch Tours and the introductory notes as well. So, yes, no, I'm definitely looking forward to hopefully catching a Matthew Bourne show in 2024 too. Any opera, Vidar, that has sort of stuck in your mind?
So, opera-wise, I'd probably choose something that we talked about not that long ago. Again, I've been lucky to see two or three in the last year or so since we did a review this time last year. And La Traviata, based on the Alexandre Dumas novel, The Lady of the Camellias, it's a beautiful opera by Verdi, some gorgeous melodies in it, very traditionally produced by Welsh National Opera. And again, the skill, the craft, as you called it, Toby, the art of audio description was so apparent. And on this occasion, it was Jonathan Nash and Julia Grundy who very often provide the audio description, not just at the Hippodrome, but also at other venues where Welsh National Opera's audio described performances are staged. They helped to bring that to life. Not only do they describe what is happening on stage, but during the pre-show touch tour, they give you a chance to literally get a feel for or have a view close up of some of the props, some of the costumes, get a sense of the set. And just walking onto the stage, in this case it was the Birmingham Hippodrome, and looking out and getting a sense, even if you can't necessarily see the auditorium, getting a sense of the space and the size and all of that, that all adds to your, or certainly my feeling of being in a theatre. And that's important because actually you're ultimately enjoying a live event. And I think that's part of the whole experience of the performing arts and going to venues like theatres and civic halls and concert halls for that type of show.
Yeah, I think it's very magical being able to stand on the stage that the performers are performing in and walk around the set and, you know, sort of actually talk to some of the cast members too. That's, you know, it's just an added bonus, which I think we all get as audio-described theatre goers.
Well, without overusing it and sounding like a crack record, I always say we're VIPs in all senses of the word, in the phrase in that context. So you're absolutely right. And actually, I've had the pleasure of taking a number of sighted companions and friends with me on touch tours, and they come away saying what a difference it makes to their enjoyment of the show, because they have perhaps been shown things that from a distance in the auditorium, even though they've got good sight, they may not have noticed the detail of or whatever. So all of that, I think, enhances everybody's, you know, enjoyment of the show. But I think those of us who happen to have a visual impairment of some kind have a real treat in terms of when it's well done, as it is with Jonathan and Julia having an excellent pre-show touch tour. And again, if people aren't familiar with that, it's normally an hour to an hour and a half before curtain up when you get the chance to take part in that. And increasingly, it's something that is coming back into fashion, as it were, following COVID and all the restrictions during that difficult time.
Well, we must sort of continue with a bit of a musical theme, because I know for you, Vidar, a good mark of a good musical is when you're humming the tunes as you come out of the auditorium. But I wondered, are there any musicals that have kept you humming the tunes for maybe a couple of days after seeing a show?
Well, I've chosen one here, again, spoilt for choice, but I have chosen one that I haven't seen done at the theatre for many years. I always enjoyed the original film, which is still a favourite. But My Fair Lady, which I saw early on in the year, again at the Birmingham Hippodrome, was a really beautiful traditional musical. You know all the songs, or at least I did, before I went. And I think even though it was of a certain age, it still works today for the most part. And yeah, that was one where I certainly came out of the theatre humming, probably not to the enjoyment of my companions' tunes. But yeah, I think coming out of the theatre, humming a tune is a sign that you've really engaged with it and you've got something out of it. And sometimes you're able to hum the tune if you've not heard it before. But on this occasion, I was familiar with a lot of the songs in the musical, so was expecting to hear them and wasn't disappointed. And again, through the description, you know the story. You know what's going to happen, by and large, in most productions. Certainly I did in the My Fair Lady production. But again, there was just a lot of information that was so important to take in during the pre-show notes. And again, if people aren't familiar with the concept of pre-show notes, that's when you take your seat equipped with your headset, hopefully tuned into the right channel, to listen to whether it's Jonathan and Julia, as it was in the case of My Fair Lady, or whoever the describer is. They actually talk through the set, they talk about the costumes, they talk about who's playing which part in the cast list, if you want to give it that title. And you have a real context for when the curtain goes up and you're hopefully transported figuratively into the new context of the unfolding drama or ballet or opera or whatever it is on stage.
And I know you're an avid visitor to the Royal Shakespeare Company in Stratford-upon-Avon. Are there any RSC productions over the year or any other drama or comedy productions that, you know, have made you come away thinking, oh, I've been moved by that production?
I think the one that I would highlight here is the dramatisation of the Maggie O'Farrell novel Hamnet that the RSC did back in the spring, which in fact is now playing in London. And I read the novel, actually, which I hadn't done before, but knowing I was going to see the play, I read the novel, and I'm really glad I did, because it was a very, very helpful introduction to the RSC production. And you mentioned a moment ago, Toby, in one of your questions, the fact that we get the chance, blinded, partially sighted theatre-goers often get the chance to meet with cast members and things, and this is something the RSC do particularly well. And several years ago, before the pandemic, a number of actors would start coming out to talk to people, and often on a Saturday matinee, they have an evening show as well. So coming out at 11 o'clock for the touch tour is a big ask when they've got a long day ahead of them. Increasingly now, if not the whole cast, certainly very many of the cast come out, including some of the star names. And that was the case with Hamnet. And it's fascinating having the chance not just to get an idea of the set and have the props described, more unusual props perhaps of the time described to you, but just having those one-to-one chats informally with members of the cast about their character, about how they approach, you know, preparing to play such and such a person and things. A real added bonus. And you know, hopefully it's something that they enjoy as well, engaging one-to-one or with a group in an audience. And that was particularly powerful, and probably that's the RSC production, along with many others that I keep saying like a cracked record, I've enjoyed, but that's the one I'd probably highlight because it was something new, something different, and something really engaging.
And finally, Vidar, we must sort of maybe talk about any possible highlights or shows that you're going to see in 2024 that you may have already booked your tickets for.
Well, I'm going to cheat a bit here, Toby, and talk about those that I'm hopefully going to see during the festive season into 2024. Festive season is always a time for either pantomime or musical or other family shows, and we're really spoilt in the area where I live in the West Midlands. And probably the one that I would highlight is based on my favourite book as a child, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, which the Birmingham Rep are doing as their festive season production across the December and January period. It's something that I've always enjoyed, and even now, even though the language of the book may be dated and things, the story is particularly powerful, and as you get older, you can read it on different levels as well. And so that's one that I am very keen to mention in our review and are looking forward today. Other things that we've got in the pipeline for next year, Hamilton, hopefully in the summer, some more Matthew Bourne, some more Welsh National Opera, and a real eclectic mix of, well, what I would describe as great shows, and hopefully an added dimension of the pleasure I get out of it is sharing the audio description reviews with you and listeners, and hopefully encouraging others to derive the pleasure that I get out of them as they start to go more and more to those sort of assisted performances.
Well, I would encourage anybody, if they're really sort of thinking about whether they should go and see an audio-described performance, to actually just to go and experience it and enjoy the whole experience of an audio-described performance. Well, Vidar, thank you very much indeed for sharing your audio-described reviews over the past year with me here on RNIB Connect Radio, and I do wish you a happy, enjoyable and peaceful Christmas and New Year.
Thank you very much, Toby, and may I wish you and your listeners the same. And it's been lovely, very self-indulgent, I have to say, but nonetheless absolutely delightful to look back over all the things I've been lucky enough to enjoy and share with you over the last 12 months, and hopefully we can do the same in a year's time.